Hey family, how are you? I want to share one of my most life-changing, I guess, memories, information, whatever you want to call it. It's one of mine. It's mine. I got saved when I was 19, and what I mean by saved is I walked into a building and felt something different in the room. I felt the presence of one I could not see. I felt power. I felt a wind that did not explain itself. And then I saw an old man who had arthritis in his hands, but you couldn't tell when he said it. He was wild as he could be. He said, "The Holy Ghost is here." And that word right there drove me into finding out if God was real. Is the Holy Ghost real? Because the only way the Holy Spirit could be a real person of heaven, a real truth, reality that we can know and have and be with and be in, then that would mean that what was said about Jesus Christ would be true, and what was said about the great I am would be true. So I set out on a journey to find God. Well, he found me. I've said this story a lot. Got laid on my back, and when I came out of it, out of a place of nothingness, I felt the normalcies like you and I do every day, and I heard a whisper in my heart that said, "See, son, I've been with you all along. You just got so used to me that you didn't notice me." That wrecked my life. But I go on, and I'm a worshiper. I love worshiping God. I love praising God. I love praying. It feels natural because I have a relationship with this person, and just the language which you use, what people say we're talking to each other, they call prayer when it talks to God. But I just love talking to God and listening to God and having this relationship. So I had that relationship with God at work when I was 19, 20, and I was saying scriptures over and over again, confessing them out loud, because the scripture says, "Hold fast to your profession of faith," and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I was saying that I am dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ. I was repeating it over and over again, and I'm on an extension ladder painting someone's house, really nice house, and out of nowhere, it said, instead of what I wanted to come out of my mouth, something else came out of my mouth. "I'm dead to the spirit, but alive to sin." And I'm like, oh my God, what was that? I didn't even finish the word sin. It was just like, what just happened? And I freaked out, and I had a dozen scriptures roll my way out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. Oh, the heart of man is wicked. All these different scriptures popped up, and I said, "Lord, forgive me. I repent. I'm so sorry. I don't know what that was. I've just had so much fun with you. That didn't make sense." And then I went back to be even more confident and more boldly saying, "I am dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ," throughout my day. And then another moment in the same day, the same thing happened. And I let those dozen scriptures come to my head and beat me down so hard, so bad, that I had thought that I literally blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Hey, Brandy, this is my wife. Oh, I'm praying right now. So whenever I got to actually looking at what I said, what I did, it condemned me so much that I spent 7 years, I would lay in sawdust, metal, it didn't matter, prostrate before God with no one else in the room, just asking for another chance for God to forgive me, for the Holy Spirit to forgive me, and to have that same relationship with me, because my relationship with God was good. I'd lay on my couch and talk with him, and no one even knew what was going on. But that 7 years, people still didn't realize that my joy had left. They didn't know why. They didn't know that I was still reading my Bible and doing the best I could, not trying to cuss. But I felt lost, felt guilty, felt condemned, felt like I had blasphemed the one individual that God said I couldn't, Holy Spirit. And in that 7 years, I met my wife. I had a daughter. I've put people around me through hell, because I didn't want to tell them that I thought that I was neglected by God, and I didn't want to give them a chance to prove to me that God still loved me. And it was tough. Until one day, I decided to go look up the definition to words. This changed my life radically. I realized that maybe it was my perspective, that I was looking at things from a very private, or very prideful or arrogant perspective, and that I needed to go see what the real definition of the words that I was applying to my life were so I could get a new perspective. Because how can you change your mind or change your ways, or I would say it this way to myself, brainwash yourself to be unbrainwashed from the world? How can you do that to yourself unless you apply language to it, unless you apply precise definitions and words into that characteristic of what you're saying over yourself and over your life? All you're doing is talking smack. But if you make it unique, perfected in the language and how it's supposed to be laid out, you can actually apply a power to your life. So I noticed. So I let that perspective shift start changing me. And the first thing I did was I went and looked up the word blaspheme. I wanted to know what it meant. Because I thought all the way for 7 years with a cloud of hatred and despair over my head for 7 whole years. I thought that blaspheme meant talk bad about the Holy Spirit. I thought that blaspheme meant to say anything, to go against God in any way. It was a big deal. And it was the fear of the Lord in me. And it was zeal and a desire to know Him. But it was a lack of knowledge. And His scripture says, my people perish due to lack of knowledge. So I got some knowledge on the situation. I learned that blaspheme means to purposely turn away from, to neglect the help of, to actually denounce one even though you know they are a genuine person. It's like the word abortion, being willing to abort a living being. You know that it's there, you know that it exists, but you choose to kill it. And that's what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was defined to me through Greek and Hebrew word searches and, where you go to the language it was written in. And once I figured that out, it was like a light bulb switched on in me. I learned that my perspective could be shifted simply by the truth. But I had to be willing to dive into the truth and not think I knew everything. And most importantly, I had to accept the findings of what I would come across. And when I found out that blasphemy meant all those things, I had a whole new reason to apologize to God. God, I'm so sorry. You've been here all along and I didn't even notice you. That's what I had to say after 7, almost 8, 9 years. Outside of his presence, I went back to the first day I encountered him. And since that day, I've been free from guilt, free from shame, free from condemnation. I pray for the sick. I pray in general. If somebody needs something, I pray. If they don't let me pray for them out loud with them, because I don't like praying for people later on, I pray for them when it's just me and God. I pray for you when it's just me and God. And the reason why I do that is because a conversation about his sons and daughters is worth having 100 out of 100 times. His love for us is extreme. It's extravagant. It's the love of a daddy. It's the love of a provider. It's the love of one who knows everything about you and still can't help but to keep staring at you. Not in a weird way, but because of their mesmerizing. They're mesmerized by you. And that's how the Father feels toward us. So I want to pray for you for a new perspective so you can see your life from a new way. Father God, I thank you that we can come to you and talk to you. And what prayer really is conversation. And in this conversation, Father, I ask for that wonderful person of the Holy Spirit to touch my voice, to touch the people on the other end, that they would see that they are loved and that Jesus Christ really is who he says he is, because the Holy Spirit really is here on the earth. Lord, I thank you that you verify and validate that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he rose from the grave 3 days later, and that he was happy about going through everything he went through because he got to see us become sons and daughters of you. Jesus, you're so worth it. I'm not afraid to single you out of the Trinity because you weren't afraid to single yourself out for all of humanity. And the one guarantee we have now, Jesus, is your Holy Spirit, that you said that I will go to the Father, and it's to your benefit that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send you a bad mammy jammy. He's going to be the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life. He's going to be a counselor, a comforter, a lawyer, a friend, and a warrior. Right here with us, someone we can encounter and experience, and he's just like you. So I thank you for that validation of who you are. And I ask you, Father, to lead your people to a hunger and a thirst for revelation, for the definition of a thing, to how to properly walk out the language of God. And I thank you, Father, that this is only done by you breathing on your people through the Holy Spirit and imparting to them, even right now, understanding of the Scriptures. Lord, you did it for me. Do it for my family. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare supernatural downloads into your mind while you sleep at night. I call you a sponge for the gospel, and I say that you will know the Word of God before you even read it. And when you find out it's written in His Word, you will give Him the glory. But this is the understanding of the Scriptures, so that you can be empowered with goodness and mercy and life and righteousness and peace and joy, and genuinely change the world around you. So I thank you, Father, and I thank you, family, that we can do this in Jesus' name, and that the touch you feel is real, and I don't have to be with you to know you feel it, because the God we have is everywhere at once, and He loves to bless His children. So don't be afraid to calm down, relax, take a breath, get your blessing, and you'll find out you're going to be a blessing. I love you, family, in Jesus' name.